this morning. Amen. I don't have the other microphone on, so hopefully our CD is working this morning. We've been having some CD problems, and so, but I think we may have it fixed out, so we've been double miking so we can have it for podcast. If you don't know, we do have a wodchurch.com. If you go there, we have a website, and we have a podcast that you can go back if you miss a sermon and you want to go back and find that and pick it up. Or if you didn't miss it and you want to hear it again, you can go back and pick that up and hear that. And thankful for all those who make that happen and that podcast to go out, not only in this country but other countries. They can tune in and hear what is going on right here in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. Amen. Hallelujah. I had two different comments this week listening to your podcast. Thank you. So it is at least ministering to two people. How about that? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm torn this morning, and I have been torn all weekend. So as to what the Lord really wanted me to share, I had two different things kind of going over in my spirit. And well, I don't know if I can connect them together or share both. They may all end up together in one spot, but I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to apologize first to my ladies back there who have all my scriptures in, because that's not where I'm going to go this morning. So just bear with me and relax. It's okay. We'll just get her done, all right? So it's all right. You don't even have to bring up the scripture if you don't want to. I'll read it. I got the word with me. Hallelujah. But the Lord kind of has had two different things. Well, let me just say that after I come out of conference, I write down a whole lot of things that I want to go back and revisit later. And so I was going through some of those yesterday as I was studying. I've been listening to Pastor Legg. Roger Legg had some MP3 things here with him last week, and he blessed me with one, which is his study of the book of Revelation. So as I run my errands yesterday, I let Roger preach to me all day. And so that kind of stirred up some things, so I'll give thanks to him. That kind of stirred up some things, but the Lord had dropped some other things in my heart, and some of the things that he said went along with something that I preached a week or so ago. And so I'm going to get to that, but I'm not going to do it today. I wanted to connect those two, but I feel to go a different direction. So is that all right? And so it won't be necessarily profound, but it's what I feel like the Lord put on my heart for us today. All right? And the scripture, it's one of my favorites, and we used to sing this as a song, but I put it out on our WOD volunteer page. If you are on Facebook and you want to connect to our Facebook page, I have a page that is the WOD volunteers, and if you're not connected to that and you would like to be, I would gladly connect you to that, because we also use that as a resource for prayer and for announcements and things like that to help get the word out. But one of the things that I put on, I could ask you, put you on the spot and ask you what the scripture I shared was. See if any of you remember. But really the Lord put it in my heart as coming out of conference and everybody just being exhausted, I'm sure, and going back to work. But all that being said, Isaiah 40, 28, I think that says 28. Sherry remembers it. Go ahead, Sherry. Amen. Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm going to back up just a little bit. Isaiah 40 and 28 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Amen. Amen. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. You ever felt like that? That to those that have no might, he gives strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Aren't you thankful for the strength of the Lord? Physical and supernatural strength of the Lord. How many can say, I have felt the strength of the Lord, the renewed strength, the strength that God gives to those who are weary, those who it declares and says, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. We may have walked through some things, but we're still walking. We may have faced some things, but we're still upright. We may have been cast down, but we're not cast out. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for the power and presence of the Lord, that even when I am weak, He is strong. When I don't have any strength in myself, there is strength in Him, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It strengthens me. It's an inner joy. It's a joy that's not my own. It's the joy that is the Lord's joy that gives me strength. In the midst of circumstances, in the midst of struggles, despair, whatever it is we are facing, hallelujah, we can run and not be weary. They can walk and not faint. The scripture says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Hallelujah. How many know eagles can soar to a really high height? They can soar very, very high. They tell me that eagles can actually fly, know and sense that a storm is coming, and fly above the storm and therefore not be affected by the storm. There can be a storm going all the way around, but the eagle's not affected, because he knows how to rise above and he knows how to fly to a higher height. He knows what makes him soar. He knows what takes him to the highest of heights, and he knows how to get there, and he knows how to sense the storm is coming. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that we can mount up with wings as eagles? Hallelujah. We can have eagles' wings. I mean, no, eagles have a different perspective. They have a different perspective than a buzzard. They have a different perspective than a chicken. They have a different perspective than a turkey. I mean, sometimes we got to quit acting like turkeys and chickens, and we got to start acting like eagles. Anybody ever see a chicken fly? What is it Buzz Lightyear says when he takes off? Yeah, but he doesn't. It's not, what does he say about his flying? Falls with style. He falls with style. He doesn't really fly. He falls with style. That's what chickens do, right? They don't really get very high. They don't get very much lift. We used to have chickens as kids, and we used to have a really mean rooster. And that mean rooster, if you would walk out of the house and you had something in your hand, that rooster was going to find you and it would flog you. And it seemed like it would target Sherry. I can remember her running from the rooster. My dad would say, hit that rooster. She was carrying Amy. We're going to call Amy Mephibosheth. Sherry dropped her. And so Dad killed the rooster. Hallelujah. He was chicken pot pie in his afterlife. How many know chickens don't have the ability to soar? Not built for that. Turkeys. Now, wild turkeys can fly better than tame turkeys. Part of the reason is because tame turkeys, they've clipped their wings. Do you know sometimes there's things in your life that'll clip your wings? It'll keep you from flying and keep you from soaring to the heights that you need to soar to. I was reading in a devotional last night in the Mirror Bible, I believe it was, and they told a story about an eagle that had been kept into captivity for 10 years. It had been in a zoo and had been kept caged in captivity, and they decided they were going to let the eagle go. They were going to return it back to its natural habitat and release it back in to the wilderness. And the big day came, and they brought the eagle, and they had the cage, and they opened the eagle, and they said, you're free to go. And the eagle just sat there in the cage. Number one, it had been in captivity for a very long time and forgot what it was like to be free. Number two, it didn't really know that it had the ability to fly. And so they sat there watching that eagle, telling that eagle, fly, go ahead, go, you're free, you can go. And the eagle wouldn't go. It wouldn't fly. It even with all the word, all the encouragement, it didn't fly. It had lost either its desire, its ability. For whatever reason, this eagle did not fly. Until another eagle flew overhead and it heard the call of another eagle. And when it heard the call of something higher, and it heard the call of another eagle, something called it up higher. Something called it up to a higher place, and the eagle remembered who he was, and he flew, and he left the cage. When I hear testimonies in the house this morning of God's goodness, I hear eagles crying out, and I hear other eagles that said, you know what, I'm going to fly. I'm going to soar too. I'm going to receive that. I'm going to accept that. I'm going to declare that. I'm going to believe that. I may have been in this state where I have been for a long time, and I may have forgot who I am, and I may have forgot that I have the ability to fly, and I may have allowed things to clip my wings, but when I hear the cry of another eagle that calls me up higher and says, wait a minute, don't you ever forget who you are. Don't you ever forget you have the ability to fly. Don't you ever forget you are regal, you are royal, you are purposed. You have been ordained and called to fly higher than you know. Quit flying down under the storms and start realizing you have the ability to fly above those storms. Hallelujah. I mean, we must hear the cry of other eagles. And we must remember who we are. Hallelujah. So he says, they that wait upon the Lord. Now, that does not mean those who are spiritual couch potatoes. Does not mean those who are just waiting on God to do something. Because how many know God has already done a whole lot of things? He's waiting on us. While we're waiting on God, a lot of times I believe God is waiting on us to step up to what he's already imparted in us, what he's already anointed us for, but we're fearful to get out of the cage and fly because we've allowed ourselves to be contained by things around us. Amen? How many know sometimes there's some things that will cage you up? If you're not careful, fear will get a hold of you, and all of a sudden you just forget that you can fly, and you get surrounded by, I heard something, I believe it was T.D. Jakes yesterday, he said something about that they learned that, you know, when they started to do these housing developments like HUD and things like that, and they would come in and they would build low-income housing, and they would build apartment after apartment and buildings and things like that. What they learned is they were successful in housing people, but they were not successful in challenging people to leave those housing developments. What he meant by that was what happens is you will reproduce what you hang out with and what you see. And so what they found out that they had people living with the same mindset all around each other. And so nobody ever challenged themselves outside of the environment that they lived in. They said, if you want to cause somebody to come up high or put somebody who's poor beside somebody who's a doctor, and all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, I don't have to stay where I am. There are greater things, and I can challenge myself to a higher late. And I'm not talking bad about poverty or doctors. What I'm saying is you got to think bigger than where you are. Amen. You got to challenge yourself. If you only ever hang out with people that are on the same level as you, whether it be financially, whether it be spiritually, whether it be mentally, intellectually, how many know sometimes you need somebody to challenge you to think different? You need to challenge somebody, have somebody challenge you to think higher. You need to have somebody that'll challenge you to think differently about yourself. It took people in my life to think higher of me than I thought of myself. Yeah. Amen? And I can name names of people that would send me messages or say things to me, and I would think, I don't know where they get that at. I don't see that in myself. But I had to allow myself to think differently, to think higher, to think greater, to think bigger. God thinks so much bigger than I do. And I told you about a year ago when we went cross country, I felt like I heard the Lord, and it was almost as if it boomed in my ear. The Lord said, Lisa, your dreams are not big enough. And I'm still not sure what he meant about that, but he said, your dreams are not big enough. This is not where it will stay, but it will go bigger and it will go higher. Kelvin Muhammad, when he was here, prophesied over this house and said, the next piece of architecture is coming. And you'd have to hear his message to know what he was saying. But he said, Noah built a boat. He built an ark for the saving of his family. What we built today will save our family down the line. And the structure that God is building is a redemptive boat that will save people's lives. Yeah. And I believe God wants to build that structure in this house, a house that saves people's lives. And there have been prophetic words over this house. I don't know what all that means, but I have to allow myself to think bigger than where we are. You have to allow yourself to think bigger than where you are right now. Quit thinking that life has come to a screeching halt for you and this is as good as it gets. We're going to soar higher. We're going to fly higher than we've ever flown before. Amen. Hallelujah. Because they're going to be eagles calling to eagles to say, rise up, fly, come on up to a higher place. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You've heard me teach before, weary does not mean weak. Sometimes we become weary. That does not make us weak. But how many know God draws us aside and we realize that His strength is our strength. His energy is our energy. I can't tell you the amount of times I'm functioning on His strength and not my own. Amen. That we've had to just draw on the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit to get you through, not somebody else's strength. But what I love about this scripture, I looked it up, and I forget the pronunciation of the word, but it says, they that wait on the Lord. And you can look at it in different places. Those who are waiting on God to speak, listening to the voice, who are in subjection to God. But the word that I loved, that I found out of that the word comes from, is those who are intertwined. The word wait means those who are intertwined. They that wait upon the Lord, or they that are intertwined with the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many know there's a difference in waiting on something and being intertwined in something? Anybody ever have a grapevine or a vine that will grow up and twist around something? And it literally, have you ever seen a tree in the woods where a vine has wrapped around it so tight that it's worn grooves into that tree, where literally it becomes, as it were, a part of that tree? The scripture that the Lord brought to my mind is in John chapter 15, where He talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, I love that because somebody said during conference in the last little bit that said, when we are in alignment with Him, things flow better. Anybody in here ever been to a chiropractor? You've heard Lynn talk about the chiropractor. And when they talk about chiropractic adjustments, that I went with Dan quite a bit because he had some pretty severe back problems there at one point. And went to the chiropractor, and the chiropractor has been able to do a lot of adjustments on his back and really has brought a lot of relief to him. And he looked at me one day when I was over there, and he said, who's your chiropractor? And I said, I don't have one. I don't need one. And I have this theory that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'm good. I don't need a chiropractor. He said, everybody needs a chiropractor. Described it to me like this. He said, your back goes together in joints, you know, your spine and your vertebrae and all that kind of stuff. He said, but over time, he said, we abuse our bodies. And he said, in our twisting, our pulling, our lifting, that our joints start to shift a little bit. Instead of them fitting into the pockets where they need to be, they come out and they kind of, and he said, if they're left like that, they will wear the bone. And he said, you won't even know it, but you'll start to wear the bone, and all of a sudden, then the back doesn't want to stay in alignment. It wants to jump over, and when it does, then it causes nerve pain, sciaticas, all the different things that start to come. And, Lynn was sharing the other day, he said, Lynn will say, oh, I got a pain right here. Leslie will say, that's your such and such vertebrae. It's out of alignment. If that would be in alignment, you wouldn't have the pain where you have. I had numbness in my toes, so I went to the chiropractor. And he did an adjustment on my back. The numbness in my toes went away because he put my back in alignment. And then I wore heels again. And so now I probably need to go back to the chiropractor. But the numbness in my toes if I was to address the problem I was having, it was in my toes, but the source of it was in my back. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying to you is when we become in alignment with Him who is the vine and understand that we are the branches, then everything that flows out of that vine, out of that center core, out of that relationship that we have with the Lord flows out into that vine. And when the vine is in alignment with the branches, guess what? Fruit starts to grow on that vine. There's producing of fruit. There is life that flows out through that. So how many know when he's talking about they that wait upon the Lord, those who are intertwined, those who are in alignment with the vine shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many know our center core, our center focus, our center alignment must be He who is the vine. We are the branches. And when we are in alignment with Him, we can't help but produce fruit and life and resources. Come. Bounty comes. The harvest comes as we're in alignment with what God wants to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So those that are intertwined with the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I believe that we can live out of the resources of the vine. Do you believe that? I believe that we can live out of the resources of the vine and that we can truly proclaim, as the song says, it is well with my soul. Because I believe when we get in a mindset, in a mental, a healthy spiritual state, that we can say it is well with my soul regardless of what else is going on around me. But how many know when we get out of a healthy spiritual state, healthy mentality, or when our mind becomes distracted by every distraction that comes along and our center core or our focus is not the vine, then how many know we have trouble bearing fruit or being fruitful in that state? But I believe it's God's desire for us to be fruitful. In John 15, I'm just going to read that a little bit, and I'm not going to keep you long. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me, or the word means remains attached to, or if I could use the word out of Isaiah, stays intertwined with me, remains attached, intertwined. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. If you disconnect yourself, there becomes withering. You become dry, ineffective. The men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, what? Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy, what, might be full. Remember we said the joy of the Lord is your strength. I've spoken to you that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Another translation says, I handpicked you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." John is speaking these things. John is declaring these things. He, in the book of John, he declares, I believe it's 8 or 9 different things, that I am. I am the vine. I am the bread. I am the light. I am the door. I am. I am. I am. How many know he was, Jesus was the great I am. When Moses said, who should I say sent me? He said, say that I am sent me. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you stay connected in me, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. Do you believe that today? That's what the Word declares. That's not my version. That's not even the Message Bible. That's what the Word declares. That's what the Word says. Hallelujah. And, you know, I believe sometimes that we need to stand firmly and strongly on what the Word says, regardless of what circumstances around us declares. Why is it sometimes when we face struggles, we face difficulty, we can believe that God has kept me this far, but what about this time? And we start to challenge our faith. We start to be fearful. We start to be afraid, and we say, but what if God, what if he doesn't this time? How many of the Scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? It's the same God. Hallelujah. I said to a parent the other day, they were worried about their kids growing up, and they said, you know, they're to that teenage state, and I just worry all the time. I worry about those decisions they'll make, and, you know, she just really wants her kids to do well and all of that kind of stuff. And I said, can I just tell you this? Number one, just keep praying. Be there with them. Be with your kids. Be present in their life. Pray with them. Pray over them. Hallelujah. And then believe that the same God that was able to keep you is the same God that's able to keep your kids. He was able to keep you, he was able to sustain you, and he is able to keep your kids in the time of struggle and the time of need. One thing is needful, teach your kids to pray. Don't just pray with them, don't just pray over them, but teach them to pray. Encourage them when they're struggling, when they're worried about something. Did you pray about it? Go pray about it. Let the Lord speak to you. I'll pray with you. You pray. Let's see what the Lord has to say. Teach them to hear the word of the Lord for themselves. I mean, Samuel had to be trained and taught. He said, when you hear God speak to you, you go back and say, here am I, Lord. And whatever he says to you, Samuel, you come and say it to me. You come tell me. I mean, you have got to train them to hear God, to know God for themselves. Sherry and I were laughing because Carolina came up here while we were praying and agreeing over something, and she's laughing at her, and I said, she's drawn to what's happening. She don't quite know what it is, and she doesn't know what to do about it or exactly how to function in it, but there's something that draws her. When I get up to speak, she's drawn. When I get up to pray, she's drawn to it. She knows something's happening up here, she's drawn to it. How many know your kids are sensitive to the Spirit? They're drawn to that. They can feel it just like you can. And so we must teach them that you're just as able to hear God for yourself as we are. We'll pray with you, we'll pray for you, but you got to learn to hear God for yourself. Amen. And as they begin to learn and hear the voice of God for themselves, hallelujah. And you know, when I were talking about the eagle being, he heard the sound of the eagle, and it challenged him to fly higher. It challenged him to leave the place where he was. I'm reminded of the scripture when Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, and there was a lame man who laid at the gate, and that gate was called what? Beautiful. He was in a beautiful place, but in a bad way. You ever been in a bad way in a beautiful place? And the scripture said he was lame from his mother's womb. From the time of his birth or the time of his creation, he was lame. He was crippled. How many know sometimes we can be lame from the mother's womb or crippled from the mother's womb, and not just physically but emotionally and in our mind? And you can lay on the verge or on the edge of something very beautiful and yet not have the ability to get up and walk in. And when Peter and John came up to the temple to pray, the scripture said he was begging alms of them. He wasn't asking for healing. He was begging alms of them, because that had been the history of his day-to-day life. Today, I'm going to the temple again, and I'm going to beg alms. But today was different. This day was different than another day, because an eagle in the sky made a sound that said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And guess what? An eagle who had been caged for all those years heard a higher sound, heard a higher calling, and said, "I didn't just come to bring you silver and gold. I come to bring you life. I come to bring you healing. I come to challenge you and cause you to stand up and walk." And the scripture says, "And he went walking and leaping and praising God." Hallelujah. You got to quit hanging out with just the only people that are crippled around you. How many know they would bring them and lay them in a pool or in a place, and every place they looked was crippled people? Now, I'm not saying a lot of people around you are not in need, but how many know we must have a higher vision than just where we are right now? Because what happens is, the old saying, misery loves company. We start to be comfortable in a place that there's better for us. What Peter and John did was challenge him where he was and say, "There's something better for you than gold and silver. There's something better for you than where you are right now. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What did they have? They had healing. They had Jesus. They just came out of a revival in an upper room on the day of Pentecost. And the power of the Holy Spirit dwelled in them, resided in them. What I have is called the Holy Ghost. It's called the power of the Holy Ghost. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I received in an upper room on the day of Pentecost, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house. Hallelujah. And they stood up and had revival, and 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. And they come out of that place, and when they came out of an upper room experience and came to the gate beautiful, they no longer could look at those laying in that state begging alms and not challenging them to something bigger. We come across people every day, maybe it's us, that are laying in a place that we need to be challenged to say, "There's something better. There's something bigger. There's something greater." That man laid out the edge of the pool at Bethesda for 38 years and said, "Somebody else always comes down ahead of me and gets my healing." Jesus said, "Will you be made whole?" He didn't answer yes. He didn't answer no. He said, "Let me just tell you why I haven't been healed. Let me just tell you why nothing's ever changed for me. Because somebody else always gets in there and gets my blessing. Somebody else always gets in when the water gets stirred and they get healed." Will you be made whole? Aren't you thankful that there's healing, not just in our body, but mind, soul, body, and spirit? Hallelujah. Because I've ministered with people that have healthy spiritual minds and are spiritually healthy, but yet their bodies are not physically healthy. But I believe that the health of our spirit can radiate out into every part of our being. Do you believe that? That the health of the power of the Holy Ghost. I think Hannah ministered to Steph about it a little bit this morning, but you have this little thing inside of you. It's small, but it's mighty. It might seem like a little thing, but it's small, but it's mighty. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And sometimes I'll just go down the road or just praying in the Holy Ghost, laying in my bed at night, just praying in the Holy Ghost, going through the schools, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You might not know they speak in tongues at my school, but we know, don't we, Tam? Hallelujah. We might not be speaking it out loud, but I'm telling you, we pray over those kids, pray over those houses, pray over those classrooms. Amen. Because that's the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, the scripture said in Joel that there's an army. You know, we talk about there's an army rising up. And as a kid, I always thought that army was rising up to fight, you know, the enemy, fight the devil and all that kind of stuff. But Joel says, but there's an army rising up that will beat their swords and their weapons into plowshares and pruning hooks. I mean, no, that's an army that doesn't fight with swords and spears. That's an army that knows the power of a seed. That's an army who knows the power of planting and sowing and reaping and harvest and planting a seed and knowing how to, how many know sometimes the best way to reach a nation is to feed them? Feed them and they will come. How many know when Jesus got ready to minister to the multitude, he would feed them? Hallelujah. But it's not an army that's rising up with weapons and swords and spears, but an army that rises up that knows the power of a seed. That knows the power of harvest, of planting and sowing and reaping and letting God bring a harvest. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who are intertwined with the Lord. We used to sing a song, wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Anybody remember that? That's some Pentecostal days back there. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in him. But the scripture, the thought, the mindset, to be intertwined with him, to be in tune with him, to be connected in him, that our focus is on him, that center vine, that center branch, the center, that him being the vine, we being the branches, that he becomes our central core, our central focus in everything in your life. What are you looking at? Look at it through the vine. What are you seeing? See it through the vine. What are you praying for? See it through the vine. What are you hoping for? Believe in God through the vine, that source, that he is your source, that center connection. Hallelujah. And those who are intertwined, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. It's easy sometimes, even in your physical body, when you become weary. Martha was so cumbered about with much serving that we forget the reason for serving. We can get so caught up in serving that we forget the reason for serving and we get worn out. And she said, you know, Lord, make her help me. And she said, Martha, she has chosen the good part that she has set at my feet. And I believe if we have our time of fellowship and communion with the Lord, that our serving will come out of that relationship. We don't serve because we have to. We serve because we get to. We serve because we want to. We serve because it comes out of a relationship and a fellowship with the Lord, being so intertwined with him that it flows and becomes fruit from our vine, from our branches. Hallelujah. And that fruit might remain. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hands as Beth sings this morning. Let's just bless the Lord this morning.